Marquita, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you for having me.
So you are running for Troy City Council in District 6. Can you tell me why you decided to run for this position?
Well, I wanted to run for city council because I want to see opportunities in our communities that provide pathways to prosperity for all of our neighbors. I carry a purpose from my mother and my grandmother, and they've instilled values in me. My personal struggles that I've went through raising my children, trying to pay my rent, trying to feed my family, it's all been just a struggle. And being in this city that I call my home as a mother and a grandmother now, I want to see those opportunities be available for all of our communities and provide pathways to prosperity for all of our neighbors. I know through hard work and commitment, building in our neighbors and our neighborhoods, together we can realize our dreams, safe housing, nutritious food, supportive programming for our youth together, we can do better. We can actually be a driving force in our children's life. There's so many of our children that are struggling just from over the last year with this pandemic and the things that we've gone through, the violence, the uprisings, and the police brutality. Alone, those items alone, I can't see myself not running for city council.
What life experiences have you had that make you qualified for this position?
Well, a lot of people may not know that I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and I moved out here and found myself homeless. I lived in Washington Park in Albany for 2 weeks on a park bench. That right there showed me that this city needed change. There's no way that a person with a college degree and has worked at numerous banks had to find themselves sleeping on a park bench. That led me to also being homeless in a shelter for 2 months, living in that shelter, dealing with having services that did not provide for me, services that were supposed to be there as safety nets to uplift me. They only brought me down further mentally and emotionally and financially. So if I found myself in an even deeper hole. I was grateful to say that I found organizing and became a leader and started speaking out about the injustices of the systems and the safety nets that we hold so dear and think that they're helping us when they are only hindering our people.
Marquita, tell me a little bit about how becoming an organizer lifted you out of that situation.
Being an organizer, I attended meetings about criminal justice reform, parole reform with Catal Justice Center.
Can you tell me about Catal?
Catal Center for Health Equity and Justice. They are an organization that works on strengthening policies, people, and institutions. They work on ending mass incarceration and criminalization. The number one focus was also ending the war on drugs. We have too many people in Black and Brown communities that are harmed every day by the injustice of the criminal system. And we struggle with trying to find ways out of these systems. Catal has come in and given a light to a lot of the problems, such as parole, bail reform. Working at Catal as a member and a leader with them, it was one of the most eye-opening experiences of my life, seeing that not only was I harmed by the system, but the people around me are constantly being harmed every day, even the children. I began to speak out, doing meetings with members, and going from a member and a leader to a statewide organizer with the organization. I realized as being a statewide organizer, yes, I was making change throughout New York State, but it was necessary for me to make change local. As we always say, all politics are local politics, and I had to get down to the local source. Bail reform was one of the biggest campaigns that I worked on. Being able to say that I was a part of getting bail reform passed was a major achievement in my career. And I also worked on their parole reform bill, Less is More New York. Less is More New York is actually in the movement to hopefully pass soon. If that passes, that will change the parole system itself. Parole hasn't been touched since it's been created. That's unheard of, that there's a system in our government that has not been changed, altered, or affected in any source to actually help the people.
What did the bail reform legislation do?
So many of our Black and Brown communities, and not just Black and Brown, but people all over the state alone, who may be harmed and maybe hurt by just saying that they can't pay a simple fine or fee to be able to get out of jail. Okay, you go to jail, you do your crime. But a lot of people that are behind these bars may not have done that crime, and they're being charged money that they had to work hard just like everybody else for in order to be able to get out. That is one thing that was unacceptable and why we fought so hard for bail and why we are still fighting to make sure that it is not put back into place.
Tell me about District 6.
Well, for me, District 6 is one of the most diverse districts. I'm a person who likes to take on challenges. Seeing that District 6 is separated into basically two different zones, where we've got the uphill and the downhill, I feel it's necessary to bring us all together. There's times where, you know, we've been separated for this last year. We need to come together. It's time for us all to come together, and I think it's necessary. If nothing else, District 6, it should be the example of what coming together looks like. Let's bring uphill and downhill together and all be one district.
Marquita, if you win this seat, what are some of the first things that you'll do when you take office?
One of the first things I want to do when I take office is we need to crack down on the slumlords. I live in the city of Troy. I rent just like most people in the city of Troy rent. And I know how much it affects you by having a slumlord. I've been victimized by having a slumlord. I've had to vacate my property due to rats, due to the housing falling. That's crazy. There's no way that the city shouldn't be doing things about these items that we're sitting here allowing the landlords to continue to own property, to be behind on their taxes and not get the property up to code. So that way the residents and the citizens of Troy can actually live comfortably.
Are there other issues that you're really eager to dig into?
Yes, there are definitely other issues I'm eager to dig into. Some of those issues also include healing and safe spaces. We need to be able to say that the children of our community have somewhere that they can go safely and they don't have to worry about maybe being harmed at home, maybe being harmed in the streets by their peers. We don't realize that these children are being hurt every day by living in poverty, by having unstable housing, by threats of just violence alone, by not having healthy food options. That is another issue that we need to cover. We live in a food apartheid in the desert. There's no way possible that as a mother that you shouldn't be able to feed your son or daughter because you don't have a healthy option. Most of us have to go to the corner store and purchase whatever frozen food item is available for our children to eat, or they're eating whatever snacks are available. There's no fresh fruits and vegetables. These children aren't introduced into fresh fruits and vegetables half the time until they're adults. We can't expect as an adult that they would want to eat something healthy. It's too late.
After the murder of George Floyd last summer by former police officer Derek Chauvin, Governor Andrew Cuomo charged localities across the state with looking at their own police forces and working with community members to come up with reform plans. Troy's Police Reform and Reinvention Collaborative released a plan on April 1st that received a lot of criticism, and the first action taken under that plan was to hire 6 new police officers. Some argue that the many millions that will go into these new hires just in the next couple of years could have made our city safer by investing in youth and poverty programs. Where do you stand on the report and the first action taken under it?
Well, let me say first and foremost, that report definitely made my stomach turn. As a mother and a grandmother, it's disgusting that we don't take into consideration our children and the safety of them. Police do not fix systems. They do not fix communities. Police and jails do not help us in any way, especially when they're only locking us up. And we need to come to a standpoint where we're training our officers to be human, not to shoot first and ask questions later. We need to train our officers to look at our children the same way they would look at their children. We need to make sure that these officers understand that they are here to do a job where they need to know the community that they're in. We don't have harm reduction systems in place. We could prevent a lot of the violence against our youth from officers. We can prevent the violence against adults from officers. We can prevent the violence against the mentally enabled individuals from officers, because a lot of times we don't realize that people that are being hurt, that are being harmed by officers, may have a mental issue. They may be going through something at that moment, but the officers are trying to react. And when they react and they think it's a violent situation, they are reacting based upon that. I always say, because I've got people in my family that are officers as well, that they're doing a job that they are just not prepared to do. It's sad that we are placing them and expecting them to do a job that they're not trained to do.
Do you think that there's racism in Troy's police department?
I believe there's racism everywhere. I don't believe Troy's police department is immune to that, as I'm sure any police department in this state or nation is. We have to be able to fine tune and weave out the bad apples, because this is a job where you can't have bad apples. So another issue that I wanted to bring to light is that along with the healthy, safe spaces for our children to heal, is we also need to have opportunities for our youth to play like kids. We have expected our kids to just figure it out themselves. And then when we have our children out here in the streets, breaking windows, breaking in houses, as we've all noticed lately, there's been a rash of violence where kids are being shot. We understand that we have to do something about it, but the question is, what are we going to do about it? Back when I was a kid, we had youth centers. We had skating rinks where we can go and play. We had parks where we didn't have to worry about being poked by needles. We don't have places where we can say it's clean for our children, where it's safe, where they've got activities that can keep them involved in doing greater things. If we could create programs such as picking up, have the kids pick up all the litter and maybe create a game out of it and prizes, those are things that we could have every week. There's such a huge problem with the litter and with the violence in the area. To be able to blend the two together, would be able to say that we can kill two birds with one stone.
When you're not out knocking on doors and campaigning, where can we find you relaxing and having fun in the area?
That's a good question. These days, I don't find myself having so much fun. But if you do find me having fun, I would say definitely be down by the river. I could say me, myself, I try to relax and find as much peace and quiet as possible. And when I do, by the water is the most serene place I can find. So definitely, you can find me at the riverfront.